FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 6/17/2020. Well, markets, who would have thought the market could crash so low and then recoup a large portion of its losses in such a quick period of time? Well, we want to know what's doing with the cycles, so we head off to talk with Charles Nenner, and you can find him quite easily. Just go to Charles Nenner, NENNER.com. And Charles, great to have you back. So these markets, huh? I hope your seatbelt was buckled.
Well, you know, everything went normally. We sent out the 1929 crash, the 1973 crash. We talked about 2000, 2007. And they all show the same thing. And we also sent out that if you take the high to the low and you take the 618% retracement, you get to 3130. Mm-hmm. So we start selling at 3130 because of the retracement. And in a week, we have a cycle top again. So the cycle bottomed right in time, went all the time up. Mm-hmm. And cycles are topping in a week.
So cycles are topping in a week. Does that mean we need to be getting out of the market? Do we go long the VIX?
That means you have to, again, get out of the market if you're long, and follow us when we're buying the VIX again, because that's very easy trades. Mm-hmm. We expect to go along the VIX once the cycle bottoms later in June.
Right. So you just had a really big trade in the VIX last week, right?
Right. VIX is very easy to trade because, actually, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I said because, but I don't know why. But it's very successful. You buy the calls when nobody wants them, when the cycle bottoms, and then we sell them when the cycle tops.
That's weak. And so the market for options on the VIX, it's very liquid, and you could get in and out when you want to.
It's not that liquid, so you have to work a little bit on doing it. But that's what there is. There are all kinds of ETFs which I don't trust.
Yeah.
Most firms don't do futures on the VIX, so that's what we're left with. Mm-hmm. But it works out pretty nice because, you know, like now, we got a bicycle at, I think, 29
right.
And a target of 45, and we start selling when it was 45. So even if it's difficult to get in and out, it's still a huge move.
Right. So there's enough liquidity that you'll find a price, you'll catch a bid at some point and still walk away with a big profit. So
Right.
And so the world's major markets all followed the U.S. markets, of course. And the Nasdaq hit a new high, right? They broke 10,000. And so time to be wary when you see that, especially when it's not confirmed by the other indices.
Well, the Nasdaq is mostly the FANG stocks. Just a few stocks. Mm-hmm. And I hear from my big guys that, you know, the small investors are buying calls, like one or three calls at a time. So it's mostly the small guys. And I think the interesting guys have another chance to get out of the market.
Right. So one call I want to go back to that you made, and I know when you made it, you had to have been shaking your head. You were talking about crude oil. I think you made a call like months ago of $5.60, something like that. And you said, I know it seems ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what the charts are telling us. And sure enough, we go into negative numbers on that May contract. And what was the tip off that it was going to crash like that?
Well, there's no tip off. The whole system that I developed is based on that there's no at random moves. That means is the news is not interesting to me and things don't move at random. So the cycle tops, get a sell signal, goes down till a cycle low. Mm-hmm. And once something starts moving, it doesn't stop in midair. You can calculate exactly where it's going. So when we start going short at $68, I think, it gave a price target of 4. Actually, it was 4.90. And I said, this seems ridiculous. But, you know, I just tried to not be any emotional about it, and it just gave my price target. So it was short, and we covered at 4.90.
Wow. That's, I mean, that everyone knew that crude was in a bear market, and I guess still is. But nobody in their right mind was calling for oil prices that we had when I was a child. I mean, before the 1972 oil embargo, I think crude, the reason that got triggered was the oil companies told the Middle Eastern countries were going to pay, they cut the price they were paying them to like $2.73 a barrel. So we're talking about almost 50 years ago, it hits a price, and now it's still, it's rebounded, but it's still struggling, right?
Right, it's going to go, it could go test one more time 42, and then it sells off again.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks. So, or you trust that you can calculate what happens, or I don't know how other people invest. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what they do. I remember when we got the cycle top, we were zero stocks a couple of weeks before it crashed. And then I said, listen, people talk about the black swan theory. That means the black swan theory means that there is going to happen something. You don't know what. And I said, instead of trying to figure out what happens, why don't you figure out when it happens? Because we know when it happens. So it turned out to be a virus. But if you don't know these things, I don't have no idea what people invest. So at the top, people are buying. And I said, whoever can tell me why they're buying, I'm interested to know. I never got an answer. And now when I tell people, why are you buying? I still don't get an answer.
Yeah.
So they don't look at the economy because the economy looked bad even before the virus problem. I guess they're just gambling on the fact that the virus situation is over. But if you look at the cycles that I have and the previous infection cycle, then it's 90% sure we're going to have a much worse situation in 1 or 2 months. Mm-hmm. So is that what people do? They just gamble on, you know, the vaccination. Then I try to tell them, look at AIDS, they never developed a vaccination. Wow. Who says they're going to find the vaccination? Is this what you put your savings on? Yeah. To gamble yes or no, you find a vaccination? That seems strange to me.
So you think it's going to come back and it's going to be worse than before?
Yeah, it definitely needs a second cycle that usually is much worse. Mm-hmm. And you see already, you know, now that they open with the lockdown, you see already it's exploding in the United States, in China and everywhere. If there would be no economic reasons, I'm sure they would keep a lockdown. But people, you know, they complain, they don't want to stay at home.
Yeah, you can't
they don't want to wear masks. The economy is not doing well. So life doesn't mean anything anymore to them.
Well, but honestly, Charles, like there were states that didn't lock down and didn't have any higher rates of infection. And it appears that the virus might be losing its strength, even though cases are up, because obviously testing is up. The number of deaths, number of hospitalizations is down. So you think this is in the fall when this second spike comes?
Yeah, we're going to get the mutation. The virus is not stupid. So usually the virus is mutating when it's not strong enough to kill people. And then it's going to be much worse. Just take a look for people who don't know what happened. Take a look what happened in the Spanish flu in 1918. It will explain exactly what happened.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see if the charts. So when it hits again, but they're not going to close down the world economy this time. Because arguably,
that's what they say. That's what they say. Of course, they're going to close down everything.
You think so? But arguably, definitely. The results of closing everything down are far worse in the intermediate term, in the long run, than just closing everything down. 40 million people out of work, and you know, nobody goes to the hospital to get treated for other diseases. So the death rate from other diseases is going to go up. And then, you know, they've been manipulating the numbers, all of these things. So how can they shut down the world economy again? I mean, I just can't see this happening. I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, let's make an assumption. How many people you think daily have to die before they close it down? 100,000 people a day, they're going to close it down, right? 50,000 people? Of course, there's a number that they're going to close it down.
Yeah, in the U.S., I'd say it's got to probably get over 20,000, 25,000 a day. But we don't even know how many people are really dying from it. We don't really know. because the way that they've set up the reporting, anybody that has it, it's automatically presumed that they died from it, even though, you know, most of the people who get it are asymptomatic or very mild symptoms from it. But all right, we're going to write this down here, and we're going to keep up with it. So gold had a nice run. Now it looks like it's consolidating.
Yeah, it's going to take a while until this continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you think that the second wave of the virus will lead to gold going higher?
I don't make these calculations. I don't make make interpretation. We'll look at gold. Yeah. I just look at what do the cycles tell me, what do the price targets tell me. Mm-hmm. And we went out of gold around, I don't remember, around 1767, 1769. Mm-hmm. And we're just standing aside because cycles don't tell me I want to go long for the moment.
Yeah.
The same thing with bonds. I'm very, very negative on bonds.
Yeah.
I think we saw a major top. Don't ask me why. Probably a liquidity crisis, because if the economy is going to drop dead, like I think it's, then bonds should not go down. But probably, you know, we're going to have the same problems as in Europe. There's a liquidity problem, and that brings rates up. So it's a very dangerous market wherever you are.
Yeah. And silver, he says, doing nothing as well. But that could change quick. So what do the charts say? How far out are we looking before gold and silver move, you think?
Well, we could move a month and a half or so, 6 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. 6 weeks.
Until the whole thing starts again, maybe 2 months. I don't have it ready, but I can look it up.
Okay.
So it's wherever you look, especially in bonds, it's going to be a surprise that rates are going up now.
Rates are going up. And you mean, so the Fed is going to fail at keeping rates at zero or negative? Real rates negative?
Well, that's short-term rates. The market decides on the 30-year and a 10-year what the level is. They can't do much about it. But you understand, the way I work is, I don't know who's doing what. I don't believe that the Fed is like a Freudian father figure that can take care of markets. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
Things just go according to cycles and price targets. Mm-hmm. And we make up a story. Tomorrow, I happen to be on Dutch television.
Yeah.
And I bring two charts to explain. One is the Dow and one is the Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're very, very successful in the Bitcoin.
Yes.
And the Bitcoin doesn't have a story, right? We don't know what the fundamentals is on Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's just how many Bitcoins are out there. That's the fundamentals, right?
Yeah, but we don't know from week to week what's going on over there.
No.
So, but the Bitcoin cycles work very nicely and the price targets work very nicely. And very successful. So then the question is, if I show after that the Dow Jones chart, why suddenly everybody starts to talk about the fundamentals and reasons, the Fed, whatever?
Yeah.
Why can't you just look at the same as the Bitcoin cycles?
Yeah, I think I think markets are kind of like Steve Jobs said that his life, when he was living his life, he went from point A to point B to point C, and it made no sense. It was only through the perspective of time when he was able to look back that he was able to connect the dots. And I think markets work the same, but maybe we never really know what's driving them, even when we look back in history, right?
Well, you talk about history. This is interesting. There's the word history and there's the word mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably never realize what the difference is. History is God's story, and mystery is my story.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the point of view of the story.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Well, that's an interesting perspective on things. And so looking at the dollar, what do you think? It's in a low right now. I mean, a low, it's 97 or so. And
you're right.
What do you foresee for that? What are the cycles saying?
The cycles say that we have a bounce for about 2-3 weeks, and then we go down again on the dollar. Not seriously, but then the euro starts to be shaping up to be very strong this year.
Yeah. Interesting. And
interesting.
Yeah.
You have asked me why, I have no clue.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us. So, so you really think the euro is going to have a strong year, huh?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And no one is saying that. So that makes me more inclined to believe it, because that's contrary to everybody else's view of where it's heading. And yeah, so getting back to Bitcoin, so we have no idea that, as you've always said, there's no fundamental analysis of Bitcoin. There are no fundamentals, there's no factories or whatever, and it just trades purely on emotion. And
right,
so it's a very predictable cycle, Bitcoin.
FSN Radio, it's all about what's next.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver, with an all-in sustaining production cost of only US$8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's A-U-R-C-A-N-A.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Very predictable, but the rest is also predictable. We just developed a whole theory. Let's say, let's take a look 100 years ago. There was no news. And there was no ticker, and the market still behaved in a normal mathematical way. I have the data.
Yeah.
And they continue to be in a mathematical way. Just now, you know, there are a lot of people who make a living by telling all kinds of stories and doing so-called fundamental analysis and cash flows and whatever. We also do that, but I'm not an expert in that more than other people. And now there's a whole industry around it, but actually, so it's the same thing as in the early 1900s or even before that. Markets behaved according to cycles and mathematics, and nobody knows what was going on. And now we have a whole industry around it, but it doesn't help you watching. Sometimes I watch CNBC. I have no clue what these people are talking about. you know, but that's how the small investor thinks that he gets an edge now. I know a lot of people from CNBC because I have been a lot on CNBC, and they're really not super billionaires. So don't think everybody that's in the business has any idea what's going on.
Oh, I know that. I knew many Wall Streeters. I lived in New York and Westchester County. Many of these Wall Streeters were my neighbors and friends, and I used to just shake my head saying, man, the guy like knows nothing more than me, but he's just in the right place at the right time to really take advantage of it. Hey, got one stock I want to throw at you, Tesla. What are we to learn from Tesla?
Okay, now I'm just bringing it up. Tesla, okay. Tesla, it's going up, so let me give you an upside price target.
Yeah.
The upside target is 1128.
1128, huh. That's so amazing. And when's the cycle
up till? And a sell signal will be given if it closes below 933. What I can tell you is the big top is middle of November. For the middle of November, it's really going to crash.
Well, middle of November, huh?
That's so how amazing. So how do you trade something like this? If you're long, then you get out at the price target or at the middle of November.
Or you sell a portion of your position at the target. If you're in options, keep a little bit just in case it goes higher, right?
And correct.
Yeah, but if it's trading at 992 right now and it's going up another, you know, almost 15%, then you could have in the money options, if you buy options, that could be show you a substantial profit on this. Interesting.
Well, the problem is they're probably so expensive, so when you get there, you didn't make any money yet.
Yeah, that is a problem for sure. So is Tesla like Bitcoin?
Is Tesla,
you know,
what do you mean by the question?
In terms of pure emotionalism, I mean, yes, there's a fundamental underlying business there that appears to be doing fairly well. But in terms of the way it's trading, is it trading on pure emotion and nothing to do with the fundamentals?
Well, you know, the interpretation of the fundamentals is more important. I once gave the example that if you own IBM and IBM is up 50% the last 2 years, and IBM comes out with a great number, then IBM can go up and down. How's that possible? Well, if the number is great and it goes up, then the Wall Street Journal will write, people poured into IBM because they're doing well. And if the cycle is down, this is people took profit because they don't think IBM will do better next year. So it's always the interpretation of the facts, not the real facts.
Right. And the real facts are at what it actually trades at, right? What it actually,
right.
How it performs.
It's the expectation. It's the same thing as price earnings. When I was at Goldman Sachs, I had this whole discussion. You guys are saying if AT&T makes 4 cents or 6 cents, it's more important to know if the price earnings is going to be 14 or it's going to be 20. But that they don't know, so they stick with, you know, the price earnings. You know, they stick with the 4 cents or the 6 cents.
Right. Yeah, well, it certainly is a story. I wanted to just get one final thing, your take, Charles. I'm sure you've been watching this Robin Hood thing where they're got all these millennial punters, if you will, gamblers, who are just pouring money into stocks and they don't really know what they're doing. They were pouring money into Hertz while it was bankrupt, and which was, they drove the price up to $5.50, $6. There's nothing new about these kind of sucker traps in the market, right?
No, I just follow Leon Cooperman because I used to work with Leon Cooperman for a period, and he is right. He says this is going to end up in tears.
Yes. Trail of tears, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, anything else you could advise us about? War cycle, social unrest, revolution. I know they all follow cycles. Are we seeing a potential revolution here in the United States?
Well, years ago, I talked about a 60-year cycle of social unrest, and the last time was in the 60s. So now, of course, it's in the 20s. I expect it to be much worse, according to cycles. The world is going to go in a very bad situation. Yeah. And the problem in the United States is, I mean, I'm working from Amsterdam. We look at the Americans, and if you can only be politically correct, then nobody knows how things function anymore. Nobody can mm-hmm. check anything because you're not supposed to tell what's really going on. So I don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah. So political correctness is the death of sanity and rationality, if you will, right?
Yeah. The interesting thing is all kinds of people that I see on my phone, Americans that say something, you know, if it's politicians or anchors, and then the next day they apologize. I don't know why they apologize. You're afraid to stand with what you said.
Yeah.
Or you don't know what you're talking about. It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, that apology, the cancel culture is kind of what you're referring to, where if you don't toe the party line, then they cancel you out, whether it's on your platform on social media or whether it's your job as a college professor, whatever it might be. And it's just this mass, these lemmings that are just going off a cliff here.
So let me say something that's politically totally incorrect, but I think it's very important. So also here we see what happens also in Atlanta, where people, where a person gets stopped by the cops, and then he exists and he starts fighting and he takes away his taser.
Yeah.
And I tell my wife, why can't those black leaders say, please don't fight the police?
Yeah.
It doesn't end well. I didn't hear that. That will be a big solution if everybody stops fighting the police.
Yeah, this is madness. Assume that you're unarmed. You just listen to what the cop says. And, I'm not saying the cops don't overstep.
Right.
But that isn't the rule. Police brutality is the exception. And it's a brutality that really isn't necessarily racial either. It's just a brutality that comes from, I always say, give a little man a big badge, and bad things are going to happen. You give a bureaucrat any power and they wind up abusing it. And
But what would be the chances that you and I get stopped by the police and we start taking away the arms or the taser and we start fighting? I mean,
never.
It's 1%, right?
No, it's 0% unless I really feel my life is in danger and I have to fight to save my life. But like, I've been stopped by the police many a time. I'm kind of a habitual speeder, not in residential areas, but on highways. And I've been stopped many a time, and I treat them very respectfully. Usually I can talk my way out of the ticket or at least get them to reduce the charge, and no problem, but I don't lose it. But if you lose it when the police stop you, and there is a history of that with the races, then bad things can happen. The key is just be respectful, cooperative, and let the system work. Because, you know, if they arrest you, with our evolving system of justice here, the odds are you're going to be out in a couple of hours anyway. You know, New York City, there's no bail.
The question we have in Europe, why don't the leaders of the black community call upon the people, don't fight the police? Then nothing will happen. I guess nothing will happen to you. If then something happens, then we really have a bad situation. Let's hope nothing happens.
Nothing is going to happen. They got these body cams on them, all these things. You know, the Atlanta one is like a really major case, because when the guy has a taser and he's shooting at you, under their own rules, they're allowed to use deadly force. And under almost any interpretation of the rules, deadly force is called for. Not necessarily has to be used, but here obviously it was. But we don't need to relitigate that. But the war cycle, China, Russia, what are we seeing here?
Well, it's slowly coming up. I said years ago, the problem is going to be with China. I still think the problem is going to be with China. Yeah. It's like a stock market. When a stock market goes down, certain stocks are still holding up and others go down. And, you know, it's burning everywhere in the world, and it's going to end up in a big conflict. But according to my cycles, the social conflicts within the countries are going to be much bigger than the external conflict.
So social conflicts and civil unrest. And, you know, we have a rich history in the United States of social unrest. It goes back, you know, to Lexington and Concord. Before it was called the Revolutionary War, it was civil unrest. And the Founding Fathers really feared anarchy. You know, we've had these militias been called out for hundreds of years to put down different riots. We've got it down to a science, but in these cities and states, for some reason, blue states, and not to get political, but that's the fact, they've forgotten how to end riots, and that the function of government is supposedly to protect the people from enemies within and without, at least in the United States. So it's interesting to see what we're going through now. It's really maybe the final battle of Western civilization here, Charles.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And now here Biden is leading it to Trump. I find it all very interesting. I mean, I tell people, if you don't look at Trump, how he behaves, but just look at his results, what do you think? So it is, you don't like him. You don't think he's a nice guy.
Oh, he's not. But anyway, Charles, we're going to wrap up here. But thank you so much for coming. Just go over to charlesnenner.com, NENNER.com. And there's a special offer for you there. Just sign up for the free subscription. Any questions or comments for Charles and myself, email us kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Charles, again, thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, you're welcome. We'll talk again.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.